already up here, and we're just going to share about the person of Jesus and how awesome he is. So, yeah, thank you. Yeah, so we're going to move the chairs over. Yeah, like over to the side. And I'm just going to also say a prayer over us because the Lord is really doing amazing things. It feels really new today. And the atmosphere feels different and it feels unique. And the Lord is just pouring out unique things this morning. So, Father, I just thank you so much for the new thing that you're doing. I thank you, Father, for your beautiful presence that's in this place. And I thank you for the worship team, God, and all that was poured out, the release of the supernatural, the release of your presence, Father. I pray, Father, that you fill every single person in this room with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I welcome you in every heart and to talk to every single person, to uplift and to set free by your power and by your presence. We love you. We love you. We love you. We love you, Jesus. There's nobody better than you. You're amazing. We love you. In Jesus' name.
Amen. I just asked Tatiana to stay up here just because. Can you just play a little bit? Because that's how I roll. That's how I roll sometimes. Jesus is incredible. If you didn't know, if this is your first time and you're wondering, what? It's because Jesus is incredible. Some of us are experiencing him for the 9 millionth time. And you know what? The first time and the 9 millionth, it doesn't matter because every time you experience Jesus, it's new. There's a newness involved in the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. Allie asked me, hey, can you share? And it's cool because what they're doing in Father's Heart Internship, they're just pursuing Jesus as individuals. And I have no idea what they're doing. As I'm like, Noelle will come home and like, oh, this is amazing. But like, how do you want me to set this up? How do you want me to talk about Jesus? So, you know, I prepared words and scriptures. And then, you know, you prepare something and then God goes, hey, don't do that. I'm like, are you sure? Because it's really good. You know, like I wrote the scriptures down, God. Like, what are we going to do with it? Like, I read these. What am I supposed to do with it? He's like, keep it. Like, oh, for me? Oh, yeah, I guess I could read the word for me. Yeah, cool. And the place he was taking me, he's like, just talk about me. Talk about the things that are of value, the things that have happened. So part of it is a testimony because the value of testimony, and that's scriptural, the value of testimony is so important if you don't understand that when God does something in your life, it's real. And God is real. So then when you share it, the life that is happening in the situation that you've been through with him, you're so passionate about, you're not selling something that you've never experienced. You're just explaining who God is. You're not selling anything. And people are going, where can I get that? Because they experience your relationship with him. So I was raised in a house that was full of prayer and full of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, growing up, there's a decision point where you choose God. And I think that happens kind of like in plateaus, you know. So you should be able to look back every couple years like, oh my gosh, I thought I believed in God and I thought I was walking with him before. And then look where he's taken me, you know. So what I really look at, there's a couple plateaus and there's a point where I hit 21 and I was newly married. And we were just kind of like, I don't know what's going to happen next. You know, like what this, this line that we've been building up for. You know, you get married, like the whole process before, like, oh my gosh, we're getting married. And like the buildup is there. And then the line, you step over the line, you're like, what now? What do we do? Who are we supposed to be? Where do we go next? What's our goal? What's our attention? And I got into this conversation with a friend of mine, and she says, you're in a place that I was in a few years ago, and you haven't given your whole self over to God. You're still holding on to things that are yours. I'm like, what? Some of your identity is still yours, and it's not his. I'm like, okay, you know, and I kind of let that stir through the course of, through the rest of the conversation, and we talked for about 2.5 hours. We were supposed to be at a dance rehearsal, but we just talked about the Lord. I'm like, oh, this is better. So I leave that dance rehearsal, and I'm in the valley off of Lancashire. I get in the car, and the radio automatically comes on. I'm like, okay, and I'm just thinking. I get on the freeway, and I turn the radio off, and I say, okay, Jesus, whatever you want to do. Two things about that conversation you have with God. When you say, God, whatever you want to do, you should be prepared that there is no preparation, because whatever you want to do means whatever you want to do. All of a sudden, the identity that you walked in is gone. The ideas, the plans for your future, those are gone. I mean, they're still there. They just sit in your mind and you present them like, hey, look at this. And then God's like, cool. And then he moves that out of the way so he can do whatever he wants to do. So at that point, when I had been raised in a house with prayer, and I had been chasing after God, and I acknowledged his presence, and I knew him, and we had a relationship, but it was at that point that the shift came, where Jesus Christ was priority, more priority in my life than me. So when you shift and you realize that Jesus is more important in the relationship, things start happening. I get on the freeway, and I said, okay, Jesus, whatever you want to do. And then I went to say something else, and out of my mouth comes the gift of tongues. And I'm like, no, I sound like my mom. What? So I'm going to guess 3 words. Like, how many? Who knows how many words? Because it's tongues. Like, was that a word? Was that a comma? Or that was, still, I don't know. So about 3 words come out. I stop. I'm like, okay, whatever you want to do. I thought it, and then I opened my mouth, and then here comes the gift of tongues again, and I'm just releasing. And when I say releasing, I'm giving access for God to go. So there is, you know, I want you to make sure you understand there is a point where you're taking action, but it's not you. You're giving an allowance is what you're doing. You're saying, yes, God, go. And then so I allow God to go, and I'm like, oh my gosh, what is happening right now? And I'm driving on the freeway, and it's about a 40-minute drive. I'm driving on the freeway, and God just starts highlighting things to me. And so I start praying for this car, and I look over. I'm just praying for this car. I know I'm praying for this car, even though it's in tongues. You know what I'm saying? And so I know I'm praying for this car, and I'm driving, and I put my hand out to that car, and I see another car come in front of me, and they're getting ready to hit the car that I'm praying for. And then I watch them like, and move out of the way. I'm like, oh my gosh. And what God is showing me is like, I'm doing something anyway. I'm just allowing you to come into what I'm doing. You didn't move that car, I did, but I'm revealing to you what's in front of you, and you can step into the presence of Jesus Christ, and he is moving in the atmosphere anyway. just move into my flow, move into the groove of what I'm doing. I'm moving somewhere. Come and follow me. It's no different from when Jesus told the disciples one by one, hey, come and follow me. Come and follow. He was going somewhere anyway. I'm going to do something anyway. I'm Jesus Christ. I'm the Savior. I'm the Messiah. But come on, follow me. Because when you follow me, you're going to be doing something too. And all of a sudden, I was doing something too. And I look at that moment, which was like such a pivotal point to dedicate your life. And it should happen over and over and over again, because every time you look into the eyes of Jesus Christ, you should go, man, I wish we could do it again. Let's do it again, Jesus. Do what? That first time when we first locked eyes and it was so passionate and I fell in love with you, let's do that again. How do I do that again, Jesus? Because when you get to the place where you fall in love with Jesus repeatedly, this is what it means to be the bride and the bridegroom. It's not like the formal part of the marriage. The wedding ceremony is great. The marriage is when you look into the eyes of Jesus Christ over and over and over, and let's fall in love again, Jesus. Let's do it again, Jesus. And then the things that happen in your life, they don't matter exactly. I mean, they matter, but they don't, because you're with God. Oh my gosh, this thing happened, that thing happened. You ever have a best friend or a spouse where you can go through whatever, it doesn't matter. And when you go through a situation by yourself, you're like, oh my gosh, this happened and I was late and then I parked and then I didn't know I was parked in the wrong place and I got a ticket and then I came out and then et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And your day builds like this. You have that by yourself. And then you have it with your best friend or you have it with your spouse, and it's life, it's an adventure, and you get a ticket and you laugh at it and you're like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. Well, let's go get some Thai food, because Thai food is beautiful and it's from the Lord. And you're like, okay, and let's talk about it, let's make a joke about it. And do you see the way the ticket guy looked at me? Like, you know, like everything becomes an adventure, and it doesn't really matter that you got the ticket. It doesn't really matter that you got in a car accident. It doesn't really matter that you were put in a position that presses you down, because you're with the person that you love. When we line up in the eyes of Jesus Christ, it doesn't really matter, because you're with the person that you love, and there's fire, and there's identity, and there's purpose, and there's value, and there's so much love that when you turn around, you start loving people just by accident. It's not like, I'm gonna go love this person today. You're just in a loving position, so you just love people. So it no longer becomes, this is my duty as a Christian. It's like, well, am I supposed to love people? Yes, but I'm just supposed to be in love with Jesus Christ. So much so that who he is rubs off on me, and I just start to become like him, and I just love people with purpose, but not like on purpose, but not on purpose. Not a chore. Like, it's just who I am. How would I not breathe? How would I not walk to my destination? It's just who I am. This is my experience with Jesus Christ. When Allie comes and says, just talk about Jesus. This is the Jesus Project. Just talk about Jesus. And I feel like I'm praying in the first service, and God shows me this sprinkler, like the above ground sprinklers, you know, yeah. And he shows me this, and it's so relevant for where we are in this drought season, and you're not supposed to water your lawn or whatever, you know. And we're sprinklers. And we're all on, but we're not all allowing God to move through us. So the sprinkler that I saw is on, and it's just shaking. And I can see it. The water is just kind of spilling out of it a little bit, but it's not pushing the way it needs to release. And Jesus is just saying, like, just be with me. Give me allowance and I'll go. What drought? If you allow me to release, there is no drought. Or you hold me up and you bottle me up and you're like, oh my gosh, Jesus, I feel you, but where are you? I'm here. Just let me go. Let me go. Let me go. So I'm excited because who knows what's going to come out of these conversations that we're going to have, and who knows what's going to come out of you receiving what God is doing and then grabbing it and just protecting his love. Just like, I just want to take this with me. Because it's not about this service. It's about taking what God has and saying, I'm going with this. I'm excited, but I think my time is up. I don't know. I'm just going to...
So I think Petey stole my notes. Or the Holy Spirit stole my notes. Gave them to you. So I'm going to talk about identity in Christ as well. And I'm going to come with a really similar story, but it's a little bit different. I'm going to talk about how I got to a place of repentance. So I'm going to be really honest with you guys about something that was kind of scary for me. I got married last year, and I'm 9 months newlywed. Yeah. That's my wife over there, and my mother-in-law, too. And as we were dating and we were engaged, I was in the internship, and honestly, I thought I was perfect. And then I got married. Turns out I wasn't perfect. But so there were things that, relational things that needed to be dealt with, and then some relational things that needed to be dealt with like this too. And when you start falling in love with somebody and spending a lot of time with them, it really exposes things. A lot of things come to the surface. So this is one of those things that happened to me, and I was yielded to Christ. I was yielded and yielded all the time and spent a lot of time on my face before, and I didn't know there was a hard spot building, and it had taken a lot of time. Because before I got married, I really wanted to get married. And there were a lot of years where the Lord just kind of started clearing that off of me. And when it was about to happen, I was like, wow, this is the one. I was kind of holding on to it like this, kind of stiff. And I didn't realize I had become unyielded to the Lord. And I was trying to be like a tough guy. Like, I'm going to do this all by myself. And I didn't know it was happening. It was all in my heart. And it was secret, and those are the issues of life that come out of here. And I didn't know it was happening, but my wife loves Jesus maybe more than I do. So, of course, he used her to help me. So I'm going to lay some foundation and some groundwork in the Word. So Pastor Steve gave us 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 5, which is just the identity of Christ, the identity of love. And he said, don't look at this as a checklist of things you have to become. Look at this as Christ. This is, Christ is, there's the verse. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy, does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And Pastor Steve was just pushing us to dive deep into this, into the character of the Father, since it was Father's Heart internship. And some ones that stood out to me was, is not puffed up. Why isn't he puffed up? And Pastor Steve encouraged us to ask him, Lord, why aren't you puffed up? And he said, it's because he's really big. He doesn't need to be. He's really confident. And so for someone who struggled with their self-esteem, that's kind of a new concept. He's so big, he doesn't need to be like, oh, good job, Jesus. He knows he did a good job. He did it. So that's the foundation. So based on that, became a framework for how I started to see Christ. As I was dating my wife and we started to become engaged, and I bought her a ring and all this stuff. And then one day she asked me this question that really scared me, and it suddenly exposed that hard spot in my heart. And she said, Calvin, how come when we talk on the phone, because we were long distance, she lived in Bakersfield, 2 hours away, how come we don't pray together? And I didn't know why. I just didn't initiate praying together all the time, and it scared me because suddenly there was like, oh no, let's not talk about that. And so that was the hard spot. And then I was almost in a crisis. I was like, oh no, there's this thing here I didn't know was there. So then the Lord was gracious, and he started to show me why I felt like that. Well, because I know Jesus is all these wonderful things. He's kind and patient, and he suffers long, and I felt really weak. And if I brought Jesus into every section of our relationship, she would see how awesome he was, and then I would kind of get dim next to him. I was hiding him from her. So, oh, it'll just be you and me. And then after we're married, then we'll invite Jesus in, and then you'll think I'm awesome, and then we'll have Jesus. Everything will be good. So now I'm gonna, the Lord broke me of that, thank Jesus, and I had to repent. And I want to show you in the Word where he led me to do that. It's in John 2, in the wedding in Galilee. And I want to read the whole thing, so I'm going to try and do it fast. So on the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And he said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Now were there 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of the purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water," and they filled them to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw some out now. Take it to the master of the feast," and they took it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and did not know where it came from, but the servants who drew it knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now." So at that point, I was a bridegroom when I read this, and I had heard that story so many times. It's a miracle, awesome, Jesus can turn water into wine. But then I read it as the bridegroom in that story. They ran out of wine, and when you're planning a wedding, things go wrong, and it's really scary. And so I related with that guy and how scary that must have been. You're planning this huge feast for everyone. Everyone's invited, random relatives from around the country, and you just ran out of something. And Jesus was there, and he saw that, and he came, and he covered their lack. And I realized that all I have to do in our relationship is invite Jesus, and I'm going to fail. There's not going to be enough wine. That's guaranteed. But if he's there, he's going to cover it. And yeah, so that's beautiful. So now I'm glad to say Jesus is in our relationship. So, and I know not everyone is getting married right now, but we all have things in our life that we've carried for a really long time. Our identities that were wrapped up in something like a career maybe you went to school for and then it didn't happen, or something that you really wanted and then it became a hard spot and you want to prove yourself and you hide it away from the Lord. And even like people who really love Jesus and spend a lot of time in prayer, that can happen too. And it's secret, and maybe it's not sin, but it could become sin. And Jesus is good enough to come and say, "Just let that go to me." And he can come and cover that. And the shame of not being enough totally gets covered, because I was really concerned with that. But the way I like to think of it now is if I was going to climb Mount Everest, and I invited Jesus to go with me, and I got to the top and came back, nobody's going to come and say, "Oh, that doesn't count. You didn't really climb Mount Everest because Jesus was with you." They're just going to be happy that I climbed it. And so now that's how I'm looking at my dreams and my visions and laying them before the Lord. And I just want to encourage you again to look and hunt for those places that got hard and release them again to the Lord, because he wants to come and cover them and make you successful, make you look awesome to the people that you love, make me look awesome to my wife. Jesus didn't come and say, "Look at this foolish person who fails." He makes me look awesome to her, and he makes her look awesome to me. And so I just want to encourage you again to open your heart and look and hunt for those hard places. That way you can just be yielded, like Petey said, and just let it go. And he can go and do in your life and in the secret places that you really care about. So thank you.
Good morning, saints. This is my first time speaking in front of a big audience like that, like this. So. Yay, I'm honored that it's you guys. I'm honored that it's Jubilee. I represent a prodigal son. I grew up in this church. Many of you know me since I was a punk little teenager. And now I humbly stand here before you. It's such an honor to speak to you guys. And I really believe that I represent first fruits of many sons of this house that are going to return. So we just bless you guys in Jesus' name. So Jesus Project, I've been praying about what the Lord wants to release. And he wants to talk about himself, of course. And I think we're coming at him from every different angle, right? It's kind of like the same theme over and over again. We're just, you know, there's so many facets to him. He's a jewel, he's a diamond with so many facets. Brilliant and sparkling. So I'm going to talk about the Word. John 1, 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. So the Word was with God, and it was perfect intimacy between Jesus, the Word, and God. And it's interesting because the other three Gospels start in Bethlehem, but John, the Apostle John, starts his Gospel like pre-time, pre-physics, pre-anything. And he's setting up this concept, and the Jewish readers would have understood it because by saying in the beginning, that was the name of their book, Genesis, in the beginning. And so he's telling them, he's like, let's go even further back. In the beginning was this perfect intimacy between the Word and the Father. And they were one, and they were the same, but yet they were distinct. And so we also can back this up later on in John where Jesus says, Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Again, it's referencing that you know, that it's true. So I just want to also point out that their intimacy produced life, right? From that intimacy, life came forth. The Word spoke all things to being. You know, Jesus is the source of life. So he makes everything. He makes man in his image. And he's commanded, be fruitful and multiply. And that's just what's happened. We're here today because Adam was obedient. He was fruitful and he multiplied. Then the Word becomes flesh, right? The Father sent the Word to be born of a woman. They had such an intimacy together. This is the strategy. Let's be intimate with mankind to a degree that they would never be able to comprehend. So the Word becomes a seed, sperma, and enters into a woman. He grew up, right? And he had to believe the Word just like we do. Everything he did, he did it as an example to us, right? We're supposed to be just like him. He didn't cheat. He didn't get any, like, easy path, right? So the Lord the whole time is spreading his seeds, his Word, right? That same Word that made the heavens and the earth and made all of us, right? That started the whole thing. He's spreading the seed. You know, we know some fell on the pathway, right? They just didn't understand. Some fell on rocky soil, and some got it, and, you know, the cares of the world choked it out. But then, before his hour, as his hour had come, he tells his apostles, a woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. You know, and when we read that in the context of, you know, before and after that, he's talking to them, telling them, like, cheer up, basically. But I felt the Holy Spirit say, but he's also talking about how he's about to go labor on the cross and bring forth a whole new life now. So the same God, the same word that has always been, that hovered over the darkness, and that darkness could not compete with him when he said light. He's like, I'm going to the cross, and it's the joy set before me. I am expectant. I am the word I'm expecting, and I'm going to bring forth this new life, right? Mind blowing. I'm like, wow, God, that's so good. So, where was I on here? So he endured the pain of labor to give birth to a new creation. He planted his own body in the ground, right? Now we are born again. A new creation, those of us that will believe in him. Hallelujah. But the story doesn't end there. This is where it gets really good. We are now those that believe in him. Born again, a new creation. How many of those are here today? We are made in his image, just like from the beginning, right? But now spiritually, all things have been given to us, right? All things have been made new. So it is our calling. We're designed now in this new man to give birth and to be fruitful. And our fruit is life to others. So Paul said to the Galatians in his letter, in Galatians 4:19, if you want to write it down. My little children, from whom I labor in birth until Christ is formed in you. So we see the Apostle Paul talking about this concept of birthing. Oh, and I just want to point out, for those of you that didn't make it to the morning service, Ali had an incredible message, and I really want to encourage you to go online and watch it. It's kind of part one to this whole thing. It's the same concept of birthing. And I had no idea she was going to talk about that. It's just Holy Spirit. So it's for you. So please go and check that out. So I have a question. Have you ever, this is like my whole life up until recently, when I'd like read the word or hear a really good message, and it just kind of be in one ear and out the other, right? And I'd want it to stick. Like, come on, like, stick. Like, why can't I, like, what's the problem here? Well, I want to give the answer to you. Life cannot be formed without intimacy. There's no such thing as a birth without intimacy. Even Jesus was born through intimacy, where the angel came to her and said, are you willing? There's a form of intimacy there. And she said, yes. And that's how life was born in her. And it's the same with us. The only way to be impregnated by the word of God, and it's the same word, this is Jesus. In this, we're new creations, right? We're born from above. This is the design of who we are. We're designed to be impregnated by the word, to be intimate with him. To bear your heart to him and be naked before him and to hold nothing back. That's what you talked about, right? Like, search me, Father. Like, here I am, just like in the garden, naked before you. We have access back to the garden again, so to speak, right? Jesus tore open his heart, and our only response is to rend our hearts open to him fully, right? Hope. When Jesus gave the parable of the sower, he explained that only the seed that landed on fertile soil will bear fruit. Fertile soil is created by faith. But you cannot have faith without hope, right? We know that in Hebrews it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. So a woman with a child is expectant of new life. Right? Her hope is set before her. And I challenge you, are you expectant of the promises and word God has placed in your heart? Are you expectant? A parable that Jesus put forth, he said, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while that man slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. That's Matthew 13:24. Beware, the enemy of man's soul will do everything he can to get you to abort the word in your womb. Life is aborted by agreeing with his lies and allowing them on our lips. The Apostle James says, life and death are in the power of the tongue. The Apostle Paul instructed the Romans, bless, not curse, or curse not, is the way he said it. So death and life are in the power of the tongue, according to Proverbs. Remember, though, that the tiniest seed, the tiniest bit of faith, like a mustard seed, will produce life. It even move mountains. So I want to share a testimony with you. I have a really good friend that is under immense pressure. He just bought a new house here in Camarillo. His family's moved in, and it's just like a dream. And he loves Camarillo. He moved from a different city. And long story short, he did something that his industry just does, standard practice. And by using music that, like from bands and stuff in his work as an artist. And since the current situation of where music is, it's on Spotify and stuff, the record labels aren't making the money they used to. So the way they're making up on their revenues is they're coming after artists like him. They're using it to not really make any profit at all and just taking him for everything he is. And he doesn't have an LLC, so he'll probably lose his home. At least that's what, in the physical, it looks like, right? Anyways, I just wanted to give you a story, the background of it. Just, you can see the pressure he's under. Yeah, the fear. Thanks, Bob. And so he's like, hey, Ryan, can we go on a prayer walk? I'll come over to your house and maybe we can just walk around and pray. I have a little bit of anxiety. I'm like, yeah, you think? Come on over. Let's pray, So he comes over and we head up the hill. And I'm doing what any of you guys would do. Just speaking life over him, promises and just reminding him of the scripture of where he's planted, and that we have a good father. He knows this. You don't even have to tell him. He already knows it, and his plans are good, and I'm just building him up. And the other night, I had got a word for the father's heart, Zephaniah 3. And I read it over him. I'm like, I really think this applies for you. And I read it over him. You could just see it break off of him. And so we're like coming back down the hill now, and the thing broke. And so now we're just like worshiping God. We're just declaring his goodness, right? You can just see it off of him. I mean, the fact that he can do that, And we're practically skipping down the hill, Not really, but We haven't become that undignified yet, but. So we had passed a guy that was like standing on the side of the road on our way up. And on our way back down, he stops us. He says, you guys don't really look like you're dealing with any anxiety or whatever the word it was he used. And my friend just laughed. He's like, it's funny you should say that because the weight of the world was on my shoulders when we passed you earlier. But it's not there now. And he's like, yeah, I can see that. He then completely spills everything to us. Perfect strangers. I'm a war vet. I got Yes. He tells us I was abused by my father. All this stuff. I mean, just deep heart stuff. I mean, he totally rended his heart. And when he's done, Adam and I, my friend and I, just poured out everything. Like, just from the overflow of our hearts, we just poured out on this guy. And just released all that stuff, And one of the things he had told us is, I'm so OCD, and there's so much fear in my heart, I can't even step on black spots on the ground or cracks. It just completely terrifies me. And he's like, I know that doesn't make any sense, but that's real. I'm like, wow, you're really in bondage, But we just, declared him today. That's going to end, And we just prayed over him and released kingdom and life over him. That same word that my friend got set free up the hill is now setting this guy free, right? We get done, and he runs out into the road and starts stepping on every spot he can find. And my friend and I look at each other and we're just like, what is going on? This is just so bizarre. I mean, this is not my life normally, right? I'm usually like, are they looking at me? You know, like. And then, oh, and right before we had met up with that guy, my friend had looked down. He's like, what is that? He picks up this little gold Jewish star. And it's like a necklace that must have fallen off of somebody's chain. So we get done ministering to this guy, and my friend looks at me with teary eyes and goes, you know what that means? The Jewish star? It means my shield. And my friend is very, very studied in our Hebrew roots. That's his, like, thing. And we just smile, and we're just like, God put that down there to speak specifically to you. Specifically, this little trinket of just him saying, like, I got your back. I'm your shield. And then, I think a morning or two after all that, I was just spending some time with the Lord, and the Holy Spirit asked me, what street were you on when that all happened? I was on mission. To have the Word of God dwell richly in His offspring is the answer to being on mission. What does it mean to be on mission, right? To be impregnated by Him through intimacy. To be spiritually fruitful and multiply. The Word of God has been revealed to us, and He is now tabernacled in our heart. Amen? We are to bear His fruit, His offspring, in the image of Christ. So I'm going to bless you, Jubilee. First, I'm going to take a drink of water. All right, Isaiah 54, 1 and 5. Sing, O barren, you who have not borne. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not labored with child, those promises you have not seen. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. For your maker is your husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and your redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of the whole earth. And Jesus said to them, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. And he who abides in me, he abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. Sorry, guys. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them, and they throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you, Jubilee. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And thank you, Jubilee.
You know, when I was preparing, I got essentially all the same things. I want to honor you guys' time, so I want to summarize what the Lord has put on my heart. which is perfect timing, Ryan. What he told me to share with you is just that it's a time to unlock joy and to unlock peace. Because he's provided all of these things for you. That's exactly why he died on the cross. And even during your hardship, one of my testimonies that I was going to share is a season of extreme hardship and immense pressure. And I would go to the Lord just sometimes weary. And the Lord kept saying to me, you got to unlock my joy. It's here. Unlock peace. It's here. It was a time when my extended family would say, gosh, I can't believe that's happening to you. A work situation that extended for almost a year. I can't believe they're treating you like that. You should X, Y, and Z. But I know that Jesus is unrobbable. So I could look at them square in the face and say, there's nothing they can take from me. Because I've unlocked his peace. And I've unlocked his joy. So even through a season of extreme tribulation and exhaustion, and having just some people being very lording and controlling and demeaning, condescending daily, the warfare to where they would look at me in the face and say, I cannot stand what you bring into this room. You're always so happy. I just can't deal with it. But then the enemy would sneak in and, well, maybe we can push her away. Maybe we could push her out. Maybe we can snuff her out. Where would you like me to go? You got it. I love that Pastor Steve says, if you take my car, let me wash it for you before you take it. And I would say, there's nothing you can take from me. And daily I would continue, come into work and just serve these people. What can I do for you today? And pray for these people and lift them up. Anyway, I just want to declare that today our joy would be unlocked. Now, it's not contingent upon a circumstance. All those promises are there, but it's not contingent on seeing those promises. It's a perpetual joy. It's an everlasting joy. It's a joy today and tomorrow and during the hardship and during the great moments and the tough moments. So, Father God, we just thank you so much that we can come to you in any condition, in any level of energy or exhaustion, in triumph and in failure, and have complete joy, complete peace. Father, let us really get to the point where we see that tribulation coming up and we say, ah, the opportunity to glory in tribulation. The opportunity to radiate joy when things are really falling apart. To you be the glory. Father, we honor you and we cherish you with our lives. And we thank you, just like this panel has shared, Father, that this message will burn into our spirits. And Holy Spirit, that you will just continue to unlock peace when we need it, joy when we need it. I thank you, Father, that nothing can separate us from your love. In Jesus' name.
Yeah, thank you. That's so good. There's nothing like magnifying the Lord. I just want to invite the Father's Heart up here in beast mode, whoever's in here, to just come up to the front on the bottom. And if you guys need prayer, if you need just a new infilling of faith, I just felt like so much faith was being released when you guys were speaking. The Lord just wants to fill us with new faith because it's like he's working on those deep places of our heart. And he's not satisfied with a shallow relationship. He's not satisfied with, I've kind of given up on you in certain areas, Lord, but I'm gonna go through the motions. It's not good enough for him. He wants your whole heart. And he has the ability to make all things new. So these people are up here to pray for you if you would like prayer. But I just release you to go. It's a brand new day outside. You're a new creation. I feel like just this washing of the Lord. I just see him like just washing over everyone, just washing it all off. And in its place, filling us with faith. So Father, I just declare a freshness of faith over every single person in here. I pray, Father, that with every step we take today, Father, you remind us of our own story with Jesus, of how you came through and how even when situations were impossible, you showed up. Father, I ask that you remind us of those memorial stones in our heart. In Jesus' name, and I declare the power of the living God to go before you in everything that you do. And every time that you kneel down to pray, I declare that the Lord backs you up. The Lord has your back. He's for you. He loves you. And his plans for you are immovable and unshakable. So I bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.